Welcome to Quick Hits, the only podcast that gets you smartinized. This, my friends, is a bonus episode of the show, a chance to experiment with slightly different material and also to answer the mail that you folks send in. There's an outfit in my area called the Knowledge Network, and I don't think they're national, but I do think they are in other areas too. Basically, what the idea is, if you have expertise in something, or think you do, you sign up with them, and they distribute a flyer that describes your course, and then people sign up. It's typically $40 for an evening course, and they take a course in anything from archery to Zen, and Zen archery even. Whatever it is, somebody's probably teaching it in the Knowledge Network. And I went to them, I wanted to teach a course in improv, I have an improv troupe, and the percentage that they wanted was just way too high. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. But then I thought, you know, I can teach other courses, and I have dozens of people that listen to the podcast, so maybe I could sell it that way. So here it is. These are my own Get Smartinized programs that you can sign up for. And they're reasonably priced. Just send me an email. Probably a little too far for you to travel if you don't live in upstate New York, but we can make some arrangements. Here we go. The first one is How to Clean My Office. The course fee is $39. It's a hands-on course. It's going to teach you how to thoroughly clean and organize a home office. We'll start by determining what to keep and what to throw away. And then you'll learn how to rearrange bookshelves so that you can put the maximum amount of spare computer parts and old magazines on them. And then you'll learn secrets of dusting and vacuuming and how to get the cobwebs near the ceiling and all kinds of other little things, how to get the rug clean. And by the time you're done, you'll know how to make an office spotless. The course fee for that is only $39, and it's conducted once a month at my house. The next course is How to Detail My Car. That, too, is a mere $39. It's a one-evening course, and you'll learn how to do the washing and the waxing and the vacuuming, but also how to clean every little nook and cranny, how to make the wax gleam, how to dig through the cushions for change and give it back to the instructor. We hold those classes every Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Now, here's one, and this is really a good buy. This one is called How to Paint My House. It's only $109, and it's 46 hours of instructions. It takes place over 2 weekends. The first weekend, you'll learn how to pick the best music to play, to listen on the boombox, and then you'll learn how to scrape paint, you'll learn ladder safety, and you'll learn how to do caulking. And then the second week, you'll learn how to buy paint, select paint. There's a materials fee of $50, by the way. Then you learn how to paint trim, then you learn how to paint everything else, and then finally, you learn how to do the cleanup. The classes are going to be held from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 2 weekends in a row, with a half an hour lunch break, so don't forget to bring your lunch. And the last one is a course for ladies only. It's called How to Sexually Satisfy Your Man. These are one-on-one sessions. They're very short. They're still $39, but I think you'll find that it's worth it. Because the premise of it is, we're going to teach you how to satisfy your man really quickly so that you can get back to doing the kind of things that you like to do, whatever they are. The classes are all personal, one-on-one private sessions, and they're held every evening at 7, 7.15, 7.30, 7.45, 8, 8.30, 9, 10, and midnight. Now, the nice thing about these classes is that they all come with the exclusive Quick Hits No Money Back Guarantee. And that means if you are not thoroughly delighted that you got your money's worth, your money will quickly and cheerfully be spent.
Okay, listen up, mail call!
The one thing that I get asked a lot consistently is, can we have more episodes? Because I only do 2 of them a month. Well, I'd like to do more episodes, but I have a whole lot of other stuff that I do. It does take not a huge amount of time, but it takes about 3 hours a show to put them together. And I'm also a procrastinator. I tend to put things off and put things off, even things that I really enjoy doing. So by giving you a commitment of doing them around the 1st and the 15th, that way I can at least get them to you consistently. And before I did that, I went like a month and a half without any at all. So let me just do those regularly for a while. If you, however, send me more email, then maybe I'll be able to do more bonus episodes. And I also just wanted to mention that the email, especially lately, has really taken on a new aspect, and that is it's been driving the direction of the show quite a bit. I got emailed about the testing the meter that was commenting on the school article that we used to test the meter. That led to the show on school choice. A lot of people wrote about that, and that led to the, can I have one word? Because my one word is choice. And I thought, gee, you know, we can get other, what are other people's single words to describe their politics? And that led to what I think was a fun show. So keep on writing, and who knows, maybe my situation will change. Maybe I will get less lazy and do them more often. But at the very least, I will try and give you your two a month that you've got coming. Letter here, rather long one. By the way, if I don't get to your letters, please don't be offended. I just trying to keep the show short. Don't have time to get to a lot of them. And I'm also skimming a lot of them. I'm not reading them in detail on the air, although I do read every word that you write. Brian Lucas writes that he is lucky enough to live in a district that has an open enrollment. If a school has an opening, anyone in the district can enroll. They won't bus you if you're out of your school's area, but you can enroll. It seems to work well. Even luckier, we live down the street from our son's elementary school, one that is closed to open enrollment due to its reputation as a good school. So if the school is too good, I guess it just doesn't have any room for more people, which is good. This is what competition is supposed to bring in. He then goes on to tell a story about a first grade teacher that he and his wife felt a little leery of when they first met, decided to give her the benefit of the doubt. Unfortunately, our first instincts were correct. She was a bad teacher. After a few weeks, we had experienced problems with her being mean to the students and not adequately explaining assignments. Then the final straw was when she told my wife after school that her son had hit another kid in gym and was trying to make him look bad, like a 5-year-old telling on his sister. When he said it wasn't true, she gave him a nasty look and in an evil tone told him, "Teachers don't lie." We checked the story with our son's gym teacher, who we were also close with. My wife then volunteered in the office that year. We found out that it was a flat-out misrepresentation of an accident that had happened 2 days earlier. She had lied about her son's behavior to get him in trouble with us and make him look bad with us. Well, they weren't real happy with this, so they had a meeting with the principal, and during the second meeting he said, well, we can put the kid in a different track and get him away from this teacher. It turns out that there were 4 teachers in this grade, and 2 at 26 students, 1 at 25, and our son's class had about 18. It made it clear that this teacher was being avoided like the plague. So this is what choice gives you. This gives you an opportunity to get your kid out of a place where you got a bad teacher or a bad situation. It gives the parents power. It gives the parents choice. Choice. That's my word. I think choice is always a great thing. The change was night and day. Within 2 weeks of changing, he had already improved his writing dramatically. The new teacher was great, and at the end of the year, she retired after nearly 20 years of teaching. Since then, we have been happy with our teachers and continue to hear good things about our school, even after a new principal came in last year. And he closes it off. He says, I'm all for competition as long as it's not with private schools. I just don't see how making a profit on education is good for students. I wrote back to him and asked why, and he said that he felt that any profit should go back into the school. While I disagree with that, I think profit is always a good motivation. It's not an unreasonable position, and so I wouldn't argue with it. So thanks, Brian, for sending that in. I got a message here from a band called Rising Conviction. Just wanted to say your latest podcast on the new music industry was great. I'm a member of a group that sells online via iTunes and the like, as well as your guys' band tracks. He talks about forming an LLC and says, "My point is, it's an exciting time to be a musician. Our focus isn't to waste time on chasing that old get signed, get famous model that leaves so many people crushed. It's where it should be, writing our music and getting it out. No radio DJ or multi-million dollar marketing budget needed, just a product that people want. I wish you the best of success." I did go to the Rising Conviction site. It's risingconviction.com. Listen to the music. I didn't particularly care for it myself. However, it's not made for old guys like me. And it looked like, just from tooling around on the site, it looked like the band was a lot of fun and had a really good fan base. And it's going to be really interesting to see. It's going to be a couple of years before it shakes out, but it's going to really be interesting to see just how well this business model works. And if a band can sell just a few thousand CDs, they can make a living. If they can sell 10,000 or 12,000 or 20,000 CDs, they can make a killing because they're putting all the profit right back into their pockets. I know I'm going to get this wrong. This is a listener from Holland, Van Andel, I think. I'm going to apologize in advance because I know I got that wrong. He sends me the URL for a anti-smoking site, a secondhand smoke site, points out just how absurd it is. And says, "Your bullshit buzzer is probably fried from visiting this site. Keep up the good work. The reading of the New York Times article was hilarious. P.S. In Holland, you can put your child in another school. A lot of people do. I did." So there we get another person voting on the side of school choice. And now an email exchange with James Repays. You may recall in the Reasonable Conclusions podcast, James was taken to task for claiming that teeny, teeny, tiny, microscopic little pieces of soot were horribly dangerous, and, even more impressive, that 150-mile-an-hour winds weren't enough to clean smoke out of a room. It had to be 300 miles an hour. I've had dealings with Mr. Repays before in other issues and other articles that I've written on my website. And so I wasn't really surprised to get this piece of email from him. Now, by the way, this guy is a researcher. This guy is an expert. This is a guy who gets paid to give speeches about the evils of secondhand smoke. And please note the professional tone with which he approaches this subject. "I read your imbecilic blog. You obviously don't know your ass from your elbow about ventilation. Read the attached, asshole." And what he attached was a PDF file from ASHRAE. ASHRAE sets some standards for heating and cooling. It's the American Society for Heating, Refrigeration, Trouser Cleavage Display, whatever. I don't know exactly what it stands for. And ASHRAE has for decades pushed the nicotine nannies away and just ignored them. But recently they acquiesced, they gave in to political pressure, and said, okay, and bought basically one of Repace's arguments about tornado force winds, in this case, being necessary to clean out smoke. So I wrote back to him, giving him all the respect that I think he deserves. "What's the matter, Jimmy boy? Don't you love me anymore? Here I am getting you all kinds of the publicity you thrive on, and you're calling me names. I'm hurt. By the way, you've not only been immortalized in the Name 3 and Reasonable Conclusions articles, Reasonable Conclusions has also been released as a podcast that's been downloaded thousands of times. Now, I realize that's just a drop in the bucket for one as famous as yourself, but I do what I can. As for ASHRAE, did you think I'd be ignorant enough of the facts behind that? You're oppressed them for years and they ignored you. Now they finally give it into your tripe, and this is supposed to impress me. How? By the way, if you would care to explain how 150-mile-an-hour winds can't clear smoke from a room, I'd love to hear it. Maybe, if you're nicer to me, I'll even put it on my widely read blog, or even, if you're a very good boy, a follow-up podcast. Kiss, kiss, Dave Hitt." See, I can be nice when it's called for. He writes back and says, "I don't see anything in your hand-waving reply that says why you disagree with ASHRAE. I don't know why I bother. But here it is. If you think there's a scientific error, send a letter to the editor. Otherwise, shut up! Because you don't know what you're talking about." I wrote back, "Did you miss my question, Jimmy? You claim 300-mile-an-hour winds are necessary to clear out SHS. Please explain why 150-mile-an-hour winds wouldn't do the job, or even 75 miles an hour. I also noticed that you didn't attempt to counter a single argument I made against your claims. Not one. Are they too much for you? Have you met your match? Say it ain't so, Jimmy. I believe I also told you why I think the ASHRAE argument is dumb. Do I have to spell it out for you? Come on, you're supposed to be such a big smart scientist. You say otherwise, shut up? Gee, if I didn't know better, I'd think you didn't love me anymore. And don't you believe in freedom of speech? I do. Even though you're completely full of shit. Even though your ignorance on the subject of SHS is both amazing and appalling, considering you make a living lying about it, I would never tell you to shut up. I believe in debate. Don't you? So, he writes back, I sent you the paper, Dave. And he quotes it. Thus, the amount of ventilation rate would have to be increased over the smoke-free case is 202,500 divided by 9 equal 22,500 times, and the corresponding estimated air change rate required for an acceptable indoor air quality would be 22,500 times 5.4 equal 21,500 ACH, which would require a veritable indoor tornado. In other words, what they've done is they've actually just basically taken his hype and thrown it in their documents. In fact, he included a document with his name on it that said he was now a member there. And what was really funny in this document, he writes this big, long document, and then he has a whole list of bibliography stuff at the bottom of it, footnotes at the bottom of it. And the first was J. Repace. And the second was J. Repace. And the third and the fourth and the fifth were all J. Repace. This guy is doing papers and quoting himself to prove them, okay? This is what we're dealing with the nicotine nannies. And he closes off with, by the way, a very slick website. You are a flack for Big Tobacco. Let me tell you exactly how I feel about Big Tobacco, Mr. Repace. I despise them even more than you do, because I despise them for all the reasons that you despise them, and quite a few more. Yes, I despise them for lying to the public. I despise them for marketing to children. I despise them for lying in Congress and making themselves look like fools. But I also despise them for making people like you powerful enough to have a strong voice in government, a voice completely out of proportion to your population. I despise them for making it possible for people like you to manipulate idiot Congress weasels. I despise them because your actions have put places out of business. I have talked face to face with people who have watched a business that they have nurtured for 10 or 20 or 30 years die overnight because with a legislative stroke of a pen, their business model became illegal because of people like you. Yes, I despise the tobacco companies because I despise you and everything that you and your kind stand for. But it's even worse than that. It's not just the anti-tobacco nicotine Nazis that are out there, but the fact that you and your kind have created a blueprint, a master plan that can be used by nannies of all flavors to get their voices heard and get their stupidity made into public policy. You've provided a blueprint for nannies of all flavors. For the meat-flavored nannies that don't want anybody to eat meat. For the vegetable-flavored nannies who don't want anybody to eat vegetables that have been touched by science. For the salt-flavored nannies and the Chinese food-flavored nannies and the Italian food-flavored nannies and the fast food-flavored nannies and the soda-flavored nannies and the alcohol-flavored nannies. For the nannies who want to decide how we do everything, what video games we can play, what kind of movies we can see, what kind of cars we can drive, what kind of food we can eat, what kind of beverages we can drink. Every single one of these vile, despicable people have learned from you and your ilk, and that's why I hate the tobacco companies. But I don't hate them nearly as much as I despise people like you, Mr. Repace. You are a despicable human being. And that's it for this episode of the Quick Hits Podcast. Hey, if you learned a little something, changed your mind, or even can just understand a different point of view without necessarily agreeing with it, congratulations, you've been smartenized. Oh, man, this one has gone way over time. Trying to keep this into 10 minutes is getting tougher and tougher, and I really got to get back to that format. So let me just say this quick. Give me a call, 206-203-4488. Leave a voicemail message that can be used on the show, or send me an email to hitman@davehit.com. The correct spelling is in the MP3 tags of this file, or go to davehit.com, spelled with two T's. Visit the place. You'll find email links all over the place. And never, ever forget that the Quick Hits Podcast is nothing more than a journal of one man's opinion, and therefore should not be taken too seriously.